Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Hi church, it's great to be with you and feels a bit strange. I'm here on a Friday recording for Sunday, but I just want to say I hope you have a great morning as we come around the Word and let's just get into it. We'll pray and open the Word. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you that your Word is fresh and new every day. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your Word this morning. It is life-changing. It is powerful. And so, Lord, I pray that my words would come across as your words. And so, Lord, speak through me, I pray today. And we just give you thanks for your Word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. So today, church, we start a new series. And we know the theme for the year is grow. And we started off with our first part of grow with conditions of growth. And so then we moved on to under pressure. And we finished under pressure not that long ago, about, I think, 3 weeks ago. And so now we start a new series, the first one today, is growing pains. Now, no matter how we look at growing pains, generally they are not much fun. As a matter of fact, they can be quite a nuisance. Sometimes, as we all know, hindsight can be a great thing. But in so many cases, in almost all our lives, we don't enjoy pain when we are in the middle of it. Growth is painful. Here's a couple of quotes for you. Growth is painful, change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere that you don't belong. Here's another one. Mistakes are the growing pains of wisdom. And one more. Which do you want? Or the pain of staying where you are, or the pain of growth? And we see in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, it goes like this. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So today, I want to look at two aspects of growing pains. The first one I want to quickly look at is our pain during growth. Pain that naturally takes place in growth. And secondly, I want to finish off with growing pains that are assisted by us, by you, by me, by our decisions that we make in our lives. So firstly, pain that naturally takes place in growth. So this, you would have heard a little bit of this story last year if you were here at church on Mother's Day. Both my boys, my younger two boys, Lucas and Caleb, I can remember a time where they had growing pains. Now, I know my older boy, Josh, would have had growing pains as well. But I remember specifically these two growing pains. And one of them, Caleb, he was having some growing pains. And it was at a time where, you know, he was feeling the pain and he spoke to his mum about it. And his mum kind of said to him, toughen up, princess. Now, this is Caleb's story. It's not mine. But at the time, if you know my wife, Claudia, and the boy's mum, you will know that she's not really tall. I'm being nice, but she's not really tall. As a matter of fact, she's 4'11" and she says, and a half. And at that time, when she was giving Caleb a hard time about getting over his growing pains, Caleb's response was, "Mum, what would you ever have known about growing pains?" Now, that went down really well in our house, and we've always brought that up and talked about it. But I do remember at the time, Caleb loves his basketball, and I do remember at the time that he had to sit out a couple of games of basketball, and it was very frustrating to him. But it wasn't for the immediate term that mattered. It was for the long term that mattered, that he needed to sit out of those games of basketball while he's, I don't understand how the growing pains work, but while the pain subsided so he could be able to run freely and do the things that he needed to do again. So we consider that in terms of growing pains. Firstly, growing pains can cause us to stop or to rest. You know the saying, short-term pain for long-term gain. There are times that we need to take ourselves out, or we are taken out of the game of life for a season. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." When this happens, for instance, maybe like now, maybe you feel that, you know, we're in lockdown and this coronavirus has caused you to be taken out of what you would normally do. But what do you do? What do you do now? We see in Luke 10, 38 to 42, it's a story of Mary and Martha. And if you read with me, in verse 38, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, "Now while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching." Continually listening to his teaching. "But Mary was very busy. She was very distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. She had lots to do. She couldn't be stopped from what she was doing." That was my adding in a couple of things. "And she approached him and said, 'Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me and to do her part.' But the Lord replied to her, 'Martha, Martha,'" and this is really important, "'you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage.'" So Jesus said, it's the good part which is going to advantage her in the future and now, which will not be taken away from her. Now, like my boys, Martha could have kept going, but at what cost? What was she going to miss out on? What was going to help her for the future? She didn't keep pushing on, and she came and she listened. And sometimes continuing on, pushing through, it may not be the worst thing, but is it the best thing? And Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good part. She had chosen probably the best thing. We see in Psalm 46 verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Take advantage of the time and do what you can. Choose the good part rather than look at what you are missing out on. It might benefit you in the long run. We understand that principle of seed, time and harvest. And right at the moment, a lot of people aren't doing all the things that they want to do. But at the moment, you can plant some seeds for a harvest in the future. You may not see it now, but you might see it in the future. Sometimes growing pains will cause us to stop and to rest. Sometimes growing pains will also cause us to wait. Now, we all love waiting. Everyone loves waiting. We all love waiting in lines at the supermarket. We all love waiting at the lights. We all love waiting in a traffic jam. We all love waiting for things to come that are delayed. We all love it. Waiting is just a great thing. You know, patience is something that we all need a lot of when we've got to wait. If we look at a couple of people in the Bible that we saw grow through pain, Joseph is one of those. He had a dream when he was very young. And he had to wait many years with trials, false accusations, and attempts on his life. But believe it or not, the waiting caused him to grow. Much of it was painful, but it was worth it. Abraham, the father of many nations, he was given a promise when he was 75 years. And at 99, he was given the same promise again, that he would be the father of many nations. Now, at about 87, about 13 years after he'd been given that promise, he and Sarah devised a plan. They didn't want to wait. They devised a plan. And Sarah said, "Go, Abraham, and sleep with my maidservant," who then gave birth to Ishmael. As I said, with resting, this plan wasn't the worst plan, but it wasn't the best. It wasn't the best thing, and they didn't wait. But waiting would have been the best thing and was the best thing. With Abraham at 100 years old, with Sarah at 90 years old, they gave birth to Isaac. Now that is waiting. 25 years was worth the wait. And we see in Genesis 17, verse 5, "What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, it will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations." What are you waiting for? Is it painful? Is it painful waiting? You need to see the good in it. We see in Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, it says, "I would have despaired," and there is some despair going on at the moment, "I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. And so we see these two things with growing pains. Growing pains cause us to rest or stop, and growing pains cause us to wait. Where are you at the moment? Now, the second part of this message today is growing pains that aren't kind of caused naturally through the process, as a story I had given about my sons and their growing pains. But these are growing pains that are assisted by us. So in other words, we make decisions, and further down the track we have pain because of those decisions. Now, when my kids were little, and I've already spoken about my two younger boys, and today with this I'm going to speak about my older boy, so they'll be delighted. I'll be sitting in the lounge room with them when I'm actually viewing this with them, and they'll probably pile on me and think they can beat me up because I've mentioned them in a sermon. There'll be no payment, like the Reardons get 50 cents every time they get mentioned. There'll be no payment. And so you're just going to have to deal with being in the middle of the sermon. So I remember Joshua as a kid, as a real little kid. Like, he's a kid, but he's a real little kid. And so we're talking when he was at high chair age. And there are certain things in Joshua's diet that he still doesn't like, but he didn't particularly like back then. And I don't know whether you ever remember a kid in a high chair and you've got the spoon and you want to feed them. And it's kind of like, it's not just a, it's very hard to get in their mouth because they don't want it, and some kids spit it out. But it's like they just close their mouth. And you try and get the spoon in, but you can't get it in because they don't want to eat what you want to give them. And it's good for them, but you don't want to eat. And they don't want to eat it. They don't want to eat what is good for them. So it was good for him, but he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He didn't want it. And at times, he didn't have it. Now, he's nearly 18. And if he rejects the healthy diet for the rest of his life, it will cause him growing pains. And the other night, I woke up the next morning and there was a plate sitting on our bench. And the plate was full, well, to one side, it had all the peas on that Joshua didn't eat. Now, he has constantly had a problem with peas, and we've constantly tried to feed it to him, and we've got to watch that he doesn't put them onto someone else's plate or move it aside. But even at 18, he still doesn't want to eat his peas. And now that's not to say he doesn't eat other healthy things, but please hear the example. I wonder in your diet whether there are things that you don't want or you haven't taken in your life. I wonder if you have any I wish I had or I wish I hadn't in the past where you've neglected something healthy. Maybe someone gave you some good advice and you said, I don't like it, I don't want it, and I won't have it. You suited yourself, you did what you wanted to do, and now you look back and you say, I wish I had listened to that advice. Or I wish I hadn't done what I'd done. So what are the peas on your plate that you don't like? Maybe it could be any number of things. For me, when I was about 25, I came to a time in my life where God woke me up. And he gave me the scripture, and I know it came out in the page. I've spoken about it before. And it was, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. And it was a really important scripture for me because there'd been times in my life where I had been given advice or read things in scripture that I just didn't like and I didn't want and I didn't suit me, so I didn't have it. But God was saying to me, it will have an outworking down the track. There will be pain down the track. You will put in play things that will cause you grief down the track if you don't sort things out. So maybe there's some things for you that over the years or even now, there are peas on your plate that you don't want. Maybe it could be this. Maybe it could be about complaining. And if we read the scripture in Philippians 2:14-15, it says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Maybe you're a complainer and you don't want to eat it. You don't want to hear it. Maybe you're complaining at the moment about the situation. Maybe these are the peas on your plate. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances. Are you being thankful right now? Are these the peas on your plate? For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Maybe it's listening. Understand this, my dear brothers. This is James 1:19. Brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Maybe that's the peas on your plate. Maybe it's about advice, as I mentioned earlier, Proverbs 19:20. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise and the rest of your life. you will be wise for the rest of your life. Maybe it's being a good example. You know, Romans 14, the whole of Romans 14 pretty much talked about not causing your brother to stumble. You know, it may be something that isn't illegal, but God says, don't cause your brother to stumble in what you do, in your actions, in what you eat and what you drink. Maybe that's the peas on your plate that you've said, no, I don't want those. Don't want that. That's not for me. Maybe it's submitting to authority. And this could be for all of us right now. 1 Peter 2:13, 14 says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials he has appointed. Maybe it's the scripture about unequally yoked in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? Maybe it's something in the past that you have ignored, put to the side and said, well, that's not for me. Maybe it's something like Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those, and this is the kicker in this one, who sincerely seek him. Some scriptures say who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking him? Or are they the peas on your plate that kind of like, no, I'll just go about life and I'll just fit God into Sunday and here and there. But he wants you to diligently seek him. Maybe it's your plans. Maybe in your life you're deciding where you want to go and you're not asking God. And maybe it's giving up. Galatians 6:9, you may not want to hear this. It might be the peas on your plate that you don't want. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So today, there's no changing what's gone before. But you might have some I wish I hads. You might have some I wish I hads. You might have some peas on the plate that you've put aside that have caused you growing pains later on because you've neglected the healthy diet. But today you can make a change. For the future, even some peas you may eat today may not totally taste great, but they will make a difference, not just for you, but for others. And so, as we see today about growing pains, this first in the series of three in growing pains, we see two types of growing pains today. Pains that may cause you to rest or stop or wait. They just might be what you need. And secondly, eat your peas. They will probably help you down the track. Either way, ask God by the power of his Holy Spirit to help you. Growing pains aren't necessarily a bad thing. And when you consider the other side of it, a healthy diet will help you with growing pains in the future. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, we just thank you that you have gone before what I've said, and I pray for whoever's listening today, whatever element it is, whether it's one of those scriptures that has been said about, whether it be complaining or giving thanks or submitting to authority, it might be a change that can take place today. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that it's life-changing, and I pray that you will go before us in all we do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, what a year we've had so far. It's been an absolute roller coaster, which has had so many ups and downs. But through it all, one thing remains the same. We still serve an almighty God, an everlasting God, who wants to come into relationship and fellowship with us. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, we read, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.'" Continuing on to Matthew 26, verse 27 to 29, in the NIV, "When he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant.'" And I'll repeat that. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus' physical death fulfills the ceremony surrounding the Passover lamb and other Old Testament sacrifices. He has become the sacrificial atonement for our sins. The cup refers to the cup of redemption, or the cup of remembrance, that is traditionally found in the Passover. This is important to us because it directly relates to God's third promise, which is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 6. "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great acts of judgment." Jesus being our Redeemer refers to us being bought at a price through Jesus' death at Calvary. The blood of the covenant foreshadows Jesus' blood spilled for us and God's wrath being absorbed so that we can come into direct relationship with Him. Lastly, Jesus is reminding us to look towards His coming, and then we'll be able to join with Him in His Father's kingdom for eternity. To follow on from this, John 3 verse 16 reads, "For God so loved the world, He so loved you and I, that He gave up His one and only Son, so that whomever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God's love was so great that it didn't matter that we were still sinners. We were unclean and unable to get to His level of holiness. While we were born of this world into sin, and whilst we had fallen short of His glory, as is said in Romans 3 verse 23. We were not adequate to enter into fellowship with our Heavenly Father, but God had other plans. Our God was willing to make a way and to offer His Son to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our transgressions. He wanted relationship over religion. Now we are going into a time of prayer and thanksgiving for all the Lord has done, is doing, and will do. If you would like to hold the elements in your hands and join with me. Dear Lord, as we partake together of the bread and the wine in remembrance of what you did for each one of us on the cross, Lord, we remember how on that same night that you were betrayed, you took a piece of bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to your disciples and said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." Let's take a moment now to take the bread. Lord, we also remember how you then took the cup and told them, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Now let's take a moment to take the cup. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would still our minds and quiet our hearts as we have just taken of the elements. We ask that you would draw each and one of us into ever closer fellowship with you. Lord, as we have just taken this bread and partaken from this cup, we remember your incredible sacrifice and grace for us. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you, church.